I'm actor, writer, director, and sometimes DJ Diallo Riddle.
And I'm producer, DJ, and songwriter Luxury, also known as the guy who talks about interpolation on TikTok.
And this is One Song,
the show where we deconstruct and celebrate some of your favorite songs from the past 60 years in music history and tell you why they deserve one more listen. You'll never hear these songs the same way again, will you, Diallo?
No, you will not. Shout out to US Soy and the United Soybean Board for supporting this episode of One Song and for giving our podcast studio an unbelievably smooth, sustainable makeover. Here on our show, we dive deep into the music, dissecting every beat and lyric. Sustainability is just like that. Each eco-friendly choice we make is like a single note that contributes to life's melody. That's why Heartbeat and the USB are teaming up to lead the discussion around greening Hollywood. We're talking slashing the carbon footprint of production with soy-based alternatives like soy-based inks for printing scripts, soy foam for soundproofing studios, and even biodiesel generators to power sets. To see our sustainable studio transformation, watch the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how we pulled the whole look together. It's all on at Heartbeat Audio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes. Okay, so today's show is going to be quite different because, number one, we're recording in New York City.
New York City. I love it here. I used to live here. City.
We both used to live here. And number two, we're joined by a very special guest.
That's right, Diallo. With us today is SNL cast member, stand-up star, and host of the hit podcast Love Thang. It's Punky Johnson. Woo!
Punky! Thanks for coming on One Song today. How are you doing?
I'm happy to be here. I feel so bad for y'all. Y'all have to come out here in New York in this
in this box. Muggy heat.
It's a hot box in here. That's right.
I always say that, like, New York, like, people always talk about the winters, but it's actually those summers that are quite sticky.
We were trying to remember, like, because we both lived here once upon a time in former lives, and, like, you know, the spring is great, and, like,
the fall is the best.
Yes. It's one of the best falls.
But you also pointed out that there's, like, a few months on either side. Like, when you really pin it down, there's actually, like, maybe 6 weeks in this, like, between April 15th and June 1st is great.
Yes.
we sound like Los Angeles guys.
But seriously, thank you for coming
on the show. This is...
absolutely.
You know, this is really, you know, this is not something that we do all the time, but, like, when we heard, you know, you were a music fan and like to talk about music, we were like, we gotta get Punky in here.
Oh yeah, I'm very specific about music too. I don't really know what the new music is these days. but I keep a load of old stuff.
We do some recent songs, but we also do a lot of songs from, like you said, the last 60 years.
Yeah.
So listen, in this episode, we're going to be talking about Missy Elliott.
Yes.
And before we get into this song, I wanted to ask, what does Missy Elliott mean to you?
Man, every song, Missy Elliott is like bacon. She makes everything better. That was not a song you didn't want Missy Elliott
For
on.
For real.
Man, they had a Super Bowl one time when Missy Elliott came out as a surprise. I almost broke the TV.
Yes.
I had like a tray on my lap with food. That shit went flying in the air. I got meatballs and sandwiches all
You're
over
just
the
excited.
Floor. I was like, not me. I was acting a fool. Missy Elliott makes everything 100
She made
times
everything better. I feel like she shows up like in the mid to late 90s, yeah. and then she's just there for like a solid, you know, 10 or 12 on everybody's songs, everybody's cuts. We're absolutely going to dive into that.
All of the above. Yep. Exactly. Yep.
Okay, Luxury, what Missy song are we getting into?
Well, it's time to put your thing down, flip it, and reverse it, because it's 2002's Missy Elliott song, Work It. Yes. Come on. Is it worth it? Let me work it. I put my thing down, flip it, and reverse it. It's your primitive, it's wet, yet. It's your primitive, it's wet, yet. If you get a Punky,
yo,
when you hear that, what are you feeling? What are you thinking?
Sometimes I'll... Just keep starting it over. All I need to hear is blum, blaka, laka, taka, dum, boom, digga, digga, dum, dum.
Yeah.
It's when that bass come in.
It's a great drop.
I'll keep starting it over sometimes. Sometimes I don't even, with a Missy song, sometimes I don't even need to hear the rest of it.
I mean, the just DJ, give me that beat. Please pick up your phone up on the request. Like, you, everybody knew what that song was. I was already DJing when this song came out, and you could just scratch that, and everyone's like, oh!
Do you remember the first time you heard it? Is there, like, a story, like, memorable Work It story?
I don't know if you want me to get too far in the song right now, but we just didn't understand what she was saying with I can't even tell you what we thought that meant for years.
We could always, like, you know, edit it if it's too hardcore, but we do want to know.
We thought at my school, I don't know who said this, but we thought it was, "Is yours if you get the coochie wet."
That's amazing.
It's yours, but of course it's the P word, but just to be cleaner.
Yeah.
It's yours if you get the coochie wet. And we would just be,
that might be better than.
That's brilliant. I've heard so many things said. It was like, you know, oh, it's some devil shit. You know, like, people had all kinds of speculation. But I was a DJ, so all I had to do was just slowly drag that thing back.
Answer your own question. Yeah, well, we are going to reveal the mystery of what she's saying there when she flips it and reverses it.
Oh, please.
But if there's any opportunity to do the punky edit, you know, we've got to get you on, like, with your misinterpretation.
Well, okay, fine. We thought it was, "It's yours if you get the pussy wet."
I mean, that's amazing. I feel like we should record you saying that and then play it backwards and hear what that sounds like.
We'll end the show with that, yeah.
Hit 'em.
We'll end the show with that, yeah.
That's funny that you thought that that's what she was saying in reverse. But it actually goes towards the heart of why I think this song was so important, which is that this song really was like, it was sexually empowering for women. You know what I mean? Like, hip-hop, you know, just in the last couple of years, it has stopped being so male-dominated. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd argue that all the biggest stars right now, with the exception of, like, maybe one or two guys, are women. But when Missy came out with this, like, it was still so male-dominated.
Right.
And yet here she comes with this song where she's literally objectifying men and also getting, you know, she's getting her rocks off, so to speak.
Don't
you
forget,
know what
she's
saying?
Shaving her chocha in this song, too. Like, it's the same song, you know?
So get a pedicure, get your hair did.
Was she the first person? Now you got me thinking.
Yeah.
Was she the first woman in a song to say, "Put this pussy on you"?
I don't know. Very, very much possible.
I just thought about that.
Maybe Lil' Kim.
I mean, Lil' Kim probably said something like that. Yeah. I mean, MC Light didn't talk like that.
Queen
Latifah's not up there.
She's royalty. She can't talk like that. No. But no, this was the first superstar female rapper who was like raunchy. And I feel like, you know, it was sexually empowering women and sexually empowering to black women.
Yes.
Also, very important part of this story. But before we get into all of that, when I think about the song, just from a mechanical point of view, I don't often associate it with sampling, but you pointed out to me that there are a lot of samples going on here.
There's actually a lot of interesting samples, and, like, there's not that many of them, but there's two in particular that have, like, these crazy layers to them. So we're going to deconstruct that in just a moment. Straight out the gate, we've got that one sample, which is the DJ, please pick up the phone on the request line. That's straight out of a song from 1984 by Rockmaster Scott and the Dynamic Three, which we were joking
that
about.
That is such an old school rap name. What is it, Rockmaster?
It's Rockmaster Scott and the Dynamic Three, because it's 1984. That's what you call your rap group.
Yes, Rockmaster.
You've got some number. It's the something four. And you're treacherous, you're ferocious, furious.
Furious Five or Furious Three.
In this case, you're Dynamic.
Dynamic, okay.
And here's the original.
Let's
hear Rockmaster.
Dynamic 3.
DJ, please pick up your phone. I'm on the request line.
Oh.
So it's just straight up sampled from that. DJ, and then you get a little wiki-wiki.
Woo!
And you get into the next sample. But there's something about this song which, right out the gate, I think it's really packaged as such an homage to old school hip hop. And all of the samples reflect that.
Right out the gate
with this one.
Yeah. In the video, she's wearing an old school tracksuit and she's got, like, all those break dancers in the video
and
stuff. I think we're probably going to say something about the video in a little bit. But that, I got to say, that track is kind of hot.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing I like about old school hip hop. It's just literally like a clap for a snare and, like, an 808.
The gigantic beat.
A rolling 808 drum. A rolling 808 drum. They didn't have a whole lot. It was just two turntables.
Yeah.
Not three.
That's all you need.
Two turntables, one mic.
It was real simple.
It was real simple.
You have all the clarity with the old school shit.
That's right.
By the way, as a DJ, I will say that anytime I like, as a DJ, it's always fun when you can put on a song that doesn't start with the music, mm-hmm. but yet everybody knows the song.
And they come running to the dance floor.
Yeah, so you can scratch it that. DJ, please. Everybody's like, oh, I got to put down my drink. I got to get the dance floor. You know, like it's just.
It goes down.
Pandemonium.
No, that'd be my favorite. I mean, I was always like that with Missy Elliott. Missy Elliott put a lot of people on too. Missy is just still to me.
Yes.
Just the queen of it.
Does she go on the Mount Rushmore?
Absolutely.
I think she goes on the Mount Rushmore.
Absolutely.
I think people forget that was like the song of the year. It wasn't like MTV video of the year. Yeah. I can't talk.
It was the song of 2002. Absolutely.
Easily.
Yeah, for everybody.
And it was a bad year. I mean, like, you got to put it in context. Like,
right.
2002.
Let's not forget what's
literally
happening.
Digging out of the rubble of 9/11, about to go to war in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
People were thinking we're going to end up in war in Iraq. I think it's interesting in that music video. When she says, hear the drummer boy go pa-rum-pa-dum-pum, like they show straight up just the Marines saluting. And I was like, what a weird image to put in a music video. But like the world had, and especially America had war on the mind.
I forgot about the context about that. You're
think about
right
that year.
It was
a very troubling year.
She also brought the heat and brought the flavor too. She almost remind me, I can't even say this. She almost remind me of a Bruno Mars, which should be said in reverse, but it makes more sense for what we're talking about right now.
In what sense?
In a sense of Bruno Mars is not the regular R&B singer.
Right.
He's still like old school. He like the Temptations. Right.
He got a whole band
and everything. And then
funk.
You got Missy Elliott. She comes in and she gives you a different type of...
Yeah.
This is some happy hip hop to me.
Right.
This ain't I'ma steal something from you. She ain't talking about drugs or money or power. And if she is, it's all subliminal. It's all under the beat.
Such a good point because I'm thinking about it and I've been thinking about it when I knew we were going to do this song. There was something really welcoming about Missy Elliott as a person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you think about all the biggest hip-hop stars, Tupac, Biggie, all the people who came before her. And I was trying to think, has there ever been anybody, I'm going to make the case, maybe Q-Tip.
Yes.
But Q-Tip welcomed you into hip-hop. He wanted to be your friend, but you had to come and honor hip-hop on certain terms.
Yeah.
But by the time Missy's out there, hip-hop is becoming the sound of American youth culture.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, everybody's paying attention to it. So she wasn't like, oh, you have to respect hip hop. She was just like, hey, this is hip hop. This is what we do. And like everybody, I can't think of one person. She's one of those rare artists where even if you don't buy a Missy Elliott album and you only listen to the Kinks or something like that, you still wanted to be down with Missy Elliott. You know what I'm saying?
Missy was singing.
She was singing.
Missy.
She was writing crazy
She
hooks.
Was writing rapping, and producing.
And she'll make a dance song. You remember the dance song she made for Ciara? She made a couple good dance
songs.
For like Ciara.
I can't. If I ever see Ciara, I will probably say it the way Missy Elliott sounds.
Absolutely.
I'll be like, oh, Ciara!
She's just making all around.
The princess is here.
Music.
Yeah.
And she got a beautiful, like, her voice is really pretty, too. It's
beautiful.
Pretty angelic.
She can sing. She wrote songs for TLC and...
Aaliyah.
She wrote that song for Tweet.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
Tweet.
Remember Tweet?
Yeah.
One thing about Missy is they didn't... What's the word I'm trying to use here? I'm drawing a blank. But they didn't, like, sexualize her. You know how a lot of women, they got to be in a bikini.
Mm-hmm.
They got to be in the small bra, the small pants, all of the makeup. They didn't do that to Missy.
Mm-mm.
Missy was a beautiful, thick, fine woman.
Yeah.
And came out, I mean, like.
With the garbage bag,
With the garbage bag in her hair. She had a whole head full of finger waves,
yes.
My nigga.
Yes.
Like, what? Finger waves?
I think that's one of the reasons why she was so welcoming, because she seemed legit. She was like. I'm just real.
What did
you
think when you first saw that video we were talking about, the rain?
What,
like Super Duper Fly, the rain. Like when you first see it with the garbage bags.
Oh, I can't stand the rain. I think that might have been the first song I might have of
really
seen her. Oh, I was like, who is this crazy lady with these finger waves? And she looked like a beetle, like a bug or something, with her glasses on.
Yeah, she had the Hype Williams video.
Right.
But then I'm like, Ma, we should get the black garbage bags instead of the white garbage bags and let me sit in the mirror and practice being Missy Elliott.
Yeah.
So she influenced your family's garbage bag decision.
Yeah, I got the glasses, I got the finger waves, and I had a fan that would blow under me.
Are you serious?
And yes, for the bag to just, man, I was trying to be Missy Elliott so bad.
That's some stuff that you amazing. Just can do as a kid because you got time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I don't think, we couldn't.
There's
have time
nothing,
to do
I don't
today.
Care how cool it is. There's
set
no way that I'm going to set aside the time
to recreate Super Duper Fly.
My favorite. But that's beautiful, and I think that really is one of the reasons why everybody loves Missy, because she's whimsical, she's real. And by the way, the first time I heard Super Duper Fly, just to step back a second, I remember thinking this is one of the weirdest hip hop songs. I mean, we weren't doing shrooms back then, really, but like it felt like hip hop on shrooms or something like that.
We're gonna get to that when we get to the acapella, but that's one of her, like, obviously that we're all talking about is we love her use of sound.
Yes,
and
yes.
So much of what she's doing, it's not just lyrics, it's not just melody, it's also and that's just placement. That's like those are the typical weapons you wield as a vocalist. She's also playing with crazy sounds and weird repetitions and inventing new words, neologisms, right? So we're gonna get into that.
That sounds like a new word. Okay, so you mentioned Request Line. What are some of the other songs? You told me there's a Blondie sample.
So let's keep getting into it. So here's the song as it stands. This is just the instrumental of Work It. And I'll tell you what this comes from. So there's obviously a couple of things going on there. It's hot. There's kind of the main hip-hop beat with the big kick and the big snare. Mm-hmm. And then there's that ween-a-ween-a-ween-ween. That's original. That's something that Timbaland probably got from a sample CD, actually, because he famously likes to kind of mix and match from these sample CDs and his beat library. Mm-hmm. But that other beat that's kind of on top, that's a little bit pluck-a-pluck-a-pluck, it's like a high beat. If that sounds a little familiar to you, it's because you probably recognize it from this.
Wow.
Reverse it. Let me check it. And then it ain't down, flip it and reverse it.
It's yours if you get the buzz away.
Wow. That's dope.
So that's Blondie's Heart of Glass. And it's obviously...
Once it was in love and it was a gas.
Yeah, it's slowed down. The tempo slowed down. Mm. Okay. Make it more hip-hop friendly. And the pitch is a little
bit different. I would have never connected the two.
I've heard both of those songs, Work It and Heart of Glass, a million times. Never drew that connection.
Never.
You know what's crazy, too, is that in Work It, there's in the publishing credits, if you go and check out, and by the way, this is kind of like a side note, you won't find this on Wikipedia or Spotify. Those are often wrong. You have got to go a little deeper. But I went, did a deep dive and found the actual records in ASCAP and BMI's library. And Blondie's Debbie Harry and Chris Stein are both credited as co-writers of Work It because of the use of that beat. But what's doubly crazy about it is that beat itself is from a drum machine that anyone can buy and use free of charge.
It's one of the settings on the drum machine?
It's just a preset on the Roland CR-78.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, and this is a drum machine that was available in the late 70s. You've heard it on other songs, too.
What's crazy is when I was a kid, I had a Casio keyboard, and I always liked Bossa Nova. I always liked them. You hit a button, it would go...
It has this really cute little thin sound. But when you add, what happened, obviously, is this drum machine came out, and Blondie and a couple of artists were like, oh, this is a nice element we can add, to our regular rock song. And I'm going to play a couple more songs that use this that you'll recognize. And they're using the same drum machine. That's the CR-78.
Oh, I love this song.
This is a
Hell
Hall
yeah,
of Notes.
Hall of Notes.
Kiss is on my list.
So with this song, you got to go back to the Missy song and help me.
Oh
to
yeah, no, it's confusing.
Feel the comparison.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot going
with
on
the last one.
Oh, okay.
Well,
so I'll
just
talk
about
you.
that drum that's in the Hall of Notes, though, right?
So what I'm playing for you is literally that very first thing. I'll play it again.
Okay.
So it's just those little tiny dinky drums at the very beginning. It's this early drum machine. This is before 808s, which are every hip-hop song forever, after they started being used in Planet Rock in 1982. That hadn't been invented yet. So drum machines have these tiny little dinky sounds, and this is one of them. That little... And it's even got this cute little full ding ding.
Yes. Yeah, because it's so soft.
No, and we were just talking about that DJ Please, that first song, when it was like a huge filling the room with space. Those little drum machines, they hadn't gotten there yet. And there's one more song that uses the same drum machine as an element. And similarly, right out the gate at the very top of the song, it's this one. See if you can recognize it.
Yeah. That's the homie Phil Collins.
It's Phil Collins in the air tonight.
Okay. Oh, yes. And they're about to come in with the big drums.
That's right. Which is obviously part of it. All three of these artists were like, we're going to have this tiny little drum thing. And then we'll have this moment where big drums come in and make it exciting.
They go from zero to 100
big
real quick.
Big drums.
It's not even a build up. It's just like from here to here, like quickly.
Right.
But I love it. That type of music pop off.
Speaking of drums, as a DJ, like there's certain break beats that are just classic. Because the drums just hit so hard. Tell me about, this is the one part of the song where I was aware there was a sample.
Right.
And it's at the end where it's like, to the ladies!
Yeah.
I show you how to work it. Tell us about that sample.
Well, and it plays into what we've been discussing already throughout this song and the track and the video, which is like the old school hip-hop homage. Mm. Uh-huh. So it's very consciously done to be a shout-out to the past.
The
to
original
80s
breakbeats,
hip-hop. Original breakbeats. So the song kind of plays through with that beat that we heard. Like, it's kind of that beat the whole song. There really isn't a lot of variety in the track. Until the very end, the Hey Ladies part, it's kind of like, I would call it a coda, musically speaking, because the song's kind of over, so it's just kind of like a little bonus at the end.
Oh, yeah, it just keeps the party going a little bit longer.
And then you hear this. And that beat right there is a classic, classic break beat. That's lifted from... and intentionally referencing the classic Run-DMC song, Peter Piper, from 1986.
Let's hear a little bit of that.
Let's hear that. But that's a Jack's on Jay's dick. My little Bo B. Cole lost her sheep. And Rip Van Winkle fell a hell asleep. And out of chillin' somewhere in Wonderland, Jack serving Jill Bucket in his hand. Woo! But that's a Jack's on Jay's dick. So all of that.
So hard.
Break all this
so
back,
hard.
Yo. Break it back.
The scratches, the looping, the like, Jesus. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Where it's a little out of key, because it's being done on a turntable. This is when sampling wasn't done in a sampler or on a laptop,
right.
So you could perfect it and have it be the same loop every time. You had to have a DJ, you had to have Jam Master Jay on the decks actually physically doing that, and it's going to be a little different every time.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not going to loop perfectly.
It's not perfectly quantized, as they say.
It's not quantized, absolutely.
But that itself was a sample.
That's absolutely right. So there's two more layers, and that's the next layer, is that is a sample of this track by Bob James called Take Me to the Mardi Gras.
And Bob James, just for those who don't know, Bob James is like this sort of, I don't know what you call him, it was sort of like a pop jazz...
Quiet Storm.
I think it got kind of pejoratively labeled as like easy listening jazz, but the hip-hop generation took a lot of those songs and then they flipped them and made them just hard. Let's hear a little bit of Take Me to the Mardi Gras.
Oh, stop. This is crazy.
Wait for it.
And by the way, Bob James...
That organ is going hard.
He's known for playing the Rhodes. That's like his main instrument. Yeah. And if it sounds kind of like a vibe you've heard before, it's also the Angela, the theme from Taxi. Uh-huh. It's same guy. It's
He's done a lot. I mean,
these people knew how to make music. I forgot how good music it was.
For the real hip hop heads or people who really want to find a deep, 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 deep cut, my favorite sampling of Bob James is a song called Baby Paw. Baby Paw by the group Group Home. So we struggle and strive, niggas, just to stay alive. I sense fear in these pussy rappers, rhyming okay. Baby Paw by Group Home. And by the way, fun fact about that song, the song doesn't start until after they get into a fight over a craps game. So you had to listen to the whole fight because, you know, it's a 90s hip-hop CD. There's a whole skit before the song even starts at like the two-minute mark. So wait till they get into the fight at the crap game and then the song starts. And it's one of my favorite Bob James samples of all time.
So just to wrap up how, you know, the songwriting credits we were saying before we got Blondie on there. Well, we weirdly don't have Bob James on there, but we do have Run DMC on there.
Yeah.
The reason we don't have Bob James on there, even though his work was sampled in Peter Piper, which was sampled by Timbaland in this Missy Elliott song, is because that Bob James breakbeat, the Take Me to the Mardi Gras, is a cover of a frickin' Paul Simon song.
Mm.
So
wait, did not know that.
This is like layer five of what's happening in working with that track right there. With that beat.
Let's peel back that last layer.
This is a busy-ass song.
It's a busy-ass song. I'm just going to play a little snippet of it. Come on, take me to the Mardi Gras, where the people sing and play.
So which part? I'm trying to.
So to be clear, there is no part of this song in the Missy Elliott song, but okay. The Bob James song that we just listened to is Bob James's cover of this Paul Simon song.
Okay.
And because sampling and publishing laws are so convoluted and complicated, Paul Simon ends up getting a piece of work at.
Okay.
Because his song was
covered.
That is freaking crazy.
Who knew that?
Is there more show? Is there more show coming up?
I think there's more show. We're going to come back after a quick break. Shout out to U.S. Soy and the United Soybean Board for supporting this episode of One Song and for giving our podcast studio an unbelievably smooth, sustainable makeover. Here on our show, we dive deep into the music, dissecting every beat and lyric. Sustainability is just like that. Each eco-friendly choice we make is like a single note that contributes to life's melody. That's why Heartbeat and the USB are teaming up to lead the discussion around greening Hollywood. We're talking slashing the carbon footprint of production with soy-based alternatives like soy-based inks for printing scripts, soy foam for soundproofing studios, and even biodiesel generators to power sets. To see our sustainable studio transformation, watch the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how we pulled the whole look together. It's all on at Heartbeat Audio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes. Welcome back. So a hip-hop producer like Timbaland takes inspiration from the past and other records. What inspires you when you write your comedy?
Well, it all depends.
I feel like your parents have a lot to do with your comedy.
Actually, all of my comedy stems from relationships.
Oh, okay.
And because I do a lot of crazy...
things.
Crazy things. And also comedians that talk about relationships, too, because I watch how they turn these small little situations into big stories. Mm-hmm. And like Kevin Hart, he turns these small situations into big stories, and I love that. And he's a family man, so I love Eddie Murphy, of course, and oh my God, Richard Pryor and all of his relationship struggles. That was huge for me to watch him.
That's so interesting that you bring that up, because we were talking earlier, like, is there such a thing as sampling in comedy?
Right.
Like, and honestly, is there interpolation in comedy? And
because there's such a line where it's like you can't take someone's joke.
Right.
The end.
Yeah, you don't want to take somebody's joke and, like, you know, Carlos Mencia got in all that trouble because they were like, no, you're just stealing jokes. Mm-hmm. But like, I feel like if I'm on stage and I'm doing stand up and I say like Eddie, well, everybody knows that that's a reference to Eddie Murphy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I feel like we do sometimes sample one another when it's clear that we are referencing. Like, if you got up on stage and was like, I ain't scared of you motherfuckers, we know what you're sampling.
Absolutely, burning back.
Exactly.
So, but also, shit, I'll sample the shit out of a meme I see.
Yeah.
I'll be like, ain't nobody saying this on stage. Give me this goddamn meme. Put that shit in my pocket.
But the difference
now
would be that's a reference. You're just, everyone understands that you're referencing it. You're not like taking his joke and saying, this is, pretending it's your joke.
I mean, some people will flat out steal a joke, but you can't. It's like when you just so like, you know, original in your own style, it's very hard for somebody to steal a joke.
Exactly.
As far as like, I think there is a such thing as a light sample of the path that we've, because if I watch too much Kevin Hart, I'm going to start acting like Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
And then I got to be like, all right, we got to stop watching.
You start getting
his
cadences a
little
bit.
Yes, his cadences, his sound. That's you know, I'm like, all right, he's on punishment for about 6 months.
Yeah, you gotta stay
if you listen to too much Chris Rock, I said, if you listen to too much Chris Rock, you see everything twice.
So, you know, I think it's a such thing of in that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But also, sometimes we go through a lot of similar experiences and we just tell the same stories.
I was
going
to say, topically,
there's
like topics that are just, everyone's going to hit certain topics.
Absolutely.
But I will say, as someone who also writes comedy, the best feeling is when you like pick up on something and it was like, it was right there. You know what I mean? Like, it was, everybody saw it. You know what I mean? But you were the first person to really be like,
put a takeout.
That's when you feel like, fuck, this is what I'm supposed to do. When you can find that thing and everybody's like, how did I not come up with that joke first? How did I not see that?
Yeah, I must be excited.
That's exciting.
I'll call a friend if I love a joke. I'd be like, you ain't put this on your special. I remember you did this joke back in 2010.
Mm. Well, have you done that? You've made sure that you're not like ripping something else off.
Oh, I will call you for your joke.
Yeah, okay.
I'd be like, I love this joke. You stop doing it. I ain't heard you do it in a
while.
That's
interesting.
And I want it.
Wait, that's super interesting to me. So have you not taken, like, steal, take it, but like, you've, there's a joke that's in your head that you just love. and you're like, I feel like I can work this in, but I want to make sure I do it in proper
channels. Absolutely.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I know the comedians will call each other and be like, yo, you remember that time you said that?
I'll tell you in your face. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Even if you're just saying something and it's funny and we laugh together, I'd be like, you know what? That's mine now. You're like, wait, what?
That's hilarious.
I'll tell you it's mine before you go use it.
That's like a band, though, doing like a cover. Like they'll do the set with like 11 original songs and then song number 12 is a cover version.
There you go.
And someone else wrote it.
Left hand giant, bitch, that's my joke.
It's actually funny because I don't do stand-up. But when I come up with a joke that I think is a good joke for a stand-up, there's certain people I'll text. I'll be like, hey, you know, you can have this. You know what I mean?
And
like,
give it away.
I do.
That's generous.
Because stand-up is weird. I don't know how you guys have the ability to do that. I just think
I don't know either. I question my life every day.
How do you do it? That is a question I have. And how much variety do you throw into, if it's a set where you have kind of like beats, you know, you're going to hit this joke, how much variation do you have from night to night?
It is definitely a music thing to me. It is definitely a rhythm. And I like to go, I watch Steve Harvey say this. He said he go by 5 second, 7 second, which means he'll set up a 7 second, five. So he'll set up a joke and it'll take about 7 seconds. And then at the 5th second, which is the 12th second, he'll have the joke, the punchline. So then he'll set it up for 5 seconds, and then he'll take 7 seconds to get. It's complicated, I know,
but
it's
math.
But there's a rhythm to it.
It's rhythm. Yeah. So I went to Arizona and I had like the set, and I was like, okay, my special is going to run off of this set. It was the best set that I've done. It was probably show number 41.
Mm.
And finally, at the 41st show, I'm like, this is the set that I'm going to go off of and extend from this one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was perfect. From start to finish, it was joke at the 5th second, at the 7th second, at the 5th second, at the 7th second, at
Damn.
The 12th second, at the 5th second, at the 7th second. The whole thing. So people couldn't breathe.
This was material that you'd been working, but you found the rhythm.
I found
for
it.
The cadence for
each
joke and the
felt
timing.
So good.
That's real.
And now every night you kind of know where it's going to go and for how long, and this sort of 5 second, 7 second thing. Do you have variety from night to night to kind of keep yourself? Are there things so that if it becomes too routine,
mm-hmm.
like you've got it nailed and perfect, but is there a point where that becomes like less interesting to actually be performing?
Well, once I get it, I leave it alone for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
I don't drive myself insane with it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to let this soak in. And then so I did that Saturday. So the next time I'm going to look at that is Thursday. So it could be nice, it could be fresh, and I won't be tired of beating the shit out of
it.
That
makes sense.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Speaking of rhythm, I would like to, now that we've gotten all these samples into our heads, I would love to go back to Timbaland. Can you play us the isolated beat so that we can hear the Blondie drums and all the other samples all meshed together?
Happy to. Here it comes. And you hear in there how there's that scratching thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also part of, that's from Peter Piper. So you get the Bob James sampled Peter Piper. But possibly the reason why they didn't just go to the Bob James record for the Take Me to the Mardi Gras sample is because they wanted how Run DMC flipped it and added the scratching and added the kind of 1984.
How he flipped it. And reversed it.
But he didn't quite reverse it.
He didn't
that's
reverse it.
That's coming
soon. That's coming up. You know, one thing I want to say is that it always strikes me about Timbaland Beats is that it's always a little bit behind the beat. That's what people don't realize. Like, you know, if you just told the computer, okay, give me a, you know, 4/4 beat, like it would just be boom, tap, boom, tap. But Timbaland knows enough to put that drum
hesitation.
Just behind the beat. And I feel like that's what makes it more vibey. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it sound more real. I also think that Timbaland was clearly listening to drum and bass at the end of the 90s because, like, if you go back and you listen to, like, that stuff he did with Aaliyah and that stuff he did with Genuine, like, that snare is always, like, real cut off. It's like, boom, boom, boom. You know, like, it's, like, it's really staccato.
That's a cool connection.
Yeah, it's dope. You know, somebody, what's your favorite Timbaland beat of all time?
Oh, man. I mean, I got to go with probably the first one I ever heard, which is, I mean, Supa Dupa Fly just has so much personal and emotional resonance for me. It's my favorite, probably my favorite Missy song, probably my favorite Timbaland beat. And that video, I mean, it's just like,
great.
It's life-changing. There's something that's like pre-Supa Dupa Fly, like there's 9/11 for global events.
Right.
And then for my musical like life, I would say that video, that song, everything about it is like, so everything that came after is a completely different planet that I live on.
Off the top of the dome, your favorite Timbaland beat?
Oh my God, off the top of the dome?
And there are some wrong answers.
Bro, it's like 10 of them. But it might.
You're going to remember
did,
one.
He did Aaliyah.
He did Aaliyah.
He did Genuine.
Yes.
He did Missy.
You forget he also did Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears. Yeah, it's just
like. You can start with one, fumble your way through an answer if it's not feeling right.
Honestly.
And then flip it and reverse it and go back and undo.
Well, first of all, I'm going to have to say this one, and let me tell you why.
Okay.
Because first, we're not analyzing all those other songs, but since we are analyzing this one, and I'm learning all these layers, I'm like, this got to be the best goddamn beat I've ever heard. Just understanding how they put, I mean, this is a goddamn jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah, it really is.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So to just take it, and then, I mean, I thought it was sitting on two samples. We sitting on about 5 or 6 samples, and then he doing stuff under the beat, and then he using Run DMC because he flipped it but didn't reverse. I mean, this is... And then it's just jacked up. This song is on a whole bunch of Muscle Milk. It's just jacked.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say my favorite Timbaland beat is One in a Million by Aaliyah.
Oh.
There's something about that beat. I just feel like, you know... Love it, babe. Love it, babe. Woo! It's hot. And then number two for me, I think, is Are You That Somebody by Aaliyah, because it's got the baby in it. And there's no better use of a baby in a pop record than the Like, I was like, oh my God, he put a baby on the track. So. Those are my two. One of the wild things about the Missy and Timbaland collaborations is that they're both from Virginia Beach, and Pharrell's from Virginia Beach. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure the clip's also from there. Like, Virginia's kind of slept on as a state.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Skills, you got, I know I'm leaving out so many people, but there are a lot of, you know, people from, like, one little area. What about the people, Punky, in the neighborhood where you grew up? Were there a lot of talented, you know, youngsters running around?
Man,
doing
look, New Orleans is the house of bounce music.
It really is.
So
shout out to DJ Jimmy.
Man, look, it's the house
where
of
they
bounce
at.
Music. Where they at?
That's still one of my favorite tracks of all time.
We grew up on House of the Bounce Music.
Yeah.
We grew up on Master P and them.
Mm. We always bring up Master P when he talks about interpolation.
Listen.
Because Master P is quietly the king of interpolation. He will take your song from the 70s mm-hmm. and have his cousin sing The Cook.
Yes.
So instead of Summer Breeze, it's Smoking Weed. Smoking Weed makes me feel high.
That's the best way to explain interpolation.
All
just
I got
everyone
is chronic
gets it.
On my mind. You know, like we used to be like, who's P? P don't want to spring for a real singer, so he got his cousin to sing this track.
P was making it happen.
P was making all the
then
money.
You got you know, Young Money, Cash Money was in the building.
Cash Money came
Turk,
out.
Lil Wayne.
Yep.
Juvenile. That's crazy how much talent there is. Yeah,
man, we was
how was it? How was a moment? How was it when Juvenile's High came out?
Oh yeah,
you got your bro jeans, huh? Yeah, like that song was just a classic.
It just took hip hop into a whole different direction. Of okay, so we don't have to rhyme.
No, well, you know, my thing about Master P is he didn't mind rhyming the same word with the same word.
Like, it works. It rhymes.
My favorite Master P line of all time, because you can see the rhyme coming. He was like, "I got to make money, and if I die in this game, I guess that wouldn't be funny."
I can't play with you,
P. Percy, if you're listening, come on the show. I want to talk to you about your process.
First thought, best thought. Okay,
I want to talk
no
about,
editing required all the time.
Listen,
you don't always have to edit.
Listen, man.
He had a double and triple CD to put out that month.
For real.
He put out CDs every month. Yeah. He was like, okay, Skullduggery coming out next. And then we're going to do Mia X. Like, he was just always putting out CDs every single month.
Oh, yeah, and it was making that money.
I love the music of New Orleans.
Before we leave the New Orleans track, I got to ask, what about the older stuff? I mean, not obviously New Orleans is the home of jazz, but like you have this incredible era of like funk music. I mean, I'm personally a huge fan of like the Meters, maybe one of my favorite bands of all time. Was that like in your house growing up, or was that like in the air, or was that kind of another era? Was that already a little forgotten about?
By the time I got older, first of all, we listened to our parents' music, number one. So, of course, I'm raised on the Aretha Franklins, Diana Rosses.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much funk unless we get into, I guess the most funkiest was, honestly, it is not funk at all, but honestly, like the Isley Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we was on that.
Yeah. Because it was the South, and I do think that, like, in the South, I'll just speak for myself, like, in Atlanta, you know, that was absolutely the music that was, like, your uncles, your aunts, mm-hmm. you know, like, that was the kind of music that they listened to. And the Quiet Storm was always big. They didn't play hip-hop on the radio in the South until really around the time that Biggie dropped the remix to One More Chance. Oh, that was when I first started to hear it during the daytime. But before that, like, it was all Anita Baker. It was all Anita Baker and, you know.
Yeah, and we just had all the ghetto music that was local, that wasn't out
yet.
Yeah,
yeah, no, I got DJ Jimmy on a cassette.
That's what I'm saying.
Somebody was like, yo, you got to listen to this. Yeah. And I heard, here go the 1, 2, 3, hit. We're going to start this thing off right. We got New Orleans in the house tonight. You know, like that was you had to know somebody to even know the tape existed.
Right.
Okay, for the next part, we're going to talk about Missy's vocals. And, of course, this is where all the magic happens.
Yes.
Missy's wordplay, her sound effects, all the effects that Timbaland puts on her vocals. It's interesting to hear some of that isolated track because it really points out how much action is happening on top. Almost everything is happening on the vocal part, on the vocal side of things in this track. So let's start with the chorus.
Is it worth it? Let me work it. I put my thing down, flip it and reverse it. It's your primitive plan yet. It's your primitive plan yet. If you got
there's a lot to unpack there. There's a lot of moaning on that. I never noticed that she's going,
You can't hear it. You can't hear it over the beat.
Can't hear it over the beat, but it's there. And like, you know, it's getting the party started. I have to ask you the backwards parts. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna have to use our production magic to actually hear what's happening there. With the flip of a button, I can answer the question that we've all had all these many years. Are you ready for it? Are we ready for it?
I'm ready. Let's talk about it.
You can play it forwards first, just to remind you.
It's your formidable plan yet. It's your formidable plan yet.
All right, so the last chance in life to have to not know what she's really saying. Because from this point forward,
I'm
going to flip it. I'm going to reverse it. And it sounds like this. In reverse.
Thing down, flip it and reverse it. I put my thing down, flip it and reverse it.
That's it.
Can you do this on the fly? Can you play it in reverse? Can you play the whole track, the whole chorus in reverse?
Sure. Okay.
Let's hear what that sounds
like.
So she was saying,
that's all
she was
saying.
Basically,
she
just repeated herself.
It's just the previous line.
She repeats herself.
It's just the previous line.
I know, it was actually, I feel like she could have done anything there, really.
I thought this was about to be some magical,
A
whole life's been leading up to this moment, and it's this?
We have brought Missy her flowers, but can I just say, I wish she said something like, you know, I don't know.
Some Al Capone's bullshit is what's going on here.
But here, can you play the whole chorus in reverse so that we can hear everything?
I thought it was going to be like a different language or something.
I thought it was going to be like God is great or something. I had no idea what it was going to be. Here we go.
Oh, here's everything in reverse.
Here's everything in reverse.
I put my thing down, flip it and reverse it. I put my thing down, flip it and reverse it. It's your primitive plan yet. It's your women. It's your wizard.
Okay, that fucks you up so bad because after the reverse part is forward, we get the forward part reversed. So it just sounds like the original.
We're just in a loop.
That's messing me up. This is some MC Escher shit. I am in a box.
I'm upset. I thought I was going to be happy.
So sorry.
You know, they say never meet your heroes and never play them backwards.
But this is almost worse than the Michael Jackson when I was mad about that.
What were you mad at Michael Jackson about?
I'm going to say it one more time. I'm not going to stop. When we thought it was Mama Say, Mama Sign, the Michael Sign.
So he does say, Mama say, Mama saw, Mama
No, you're right. That is what he says.
No, he said, I'm going to say it one more time. I'm not going to stop.
That's an internet thing.
That is bullshit. He does not say no damn
yes,
Mama
he does,
say.
Because he actually had to pay out because that's an interpolation.
Mano de Bongo's Soul Makossa, and he does say, Mama say, Mama saw, Mama Makossa. But the internet was convinced he was saying,
I'm going to say it one more time, I'm not going to stop.
See, this is the era we live in. It's disinformation, it's misinformation.
Well,
okay.
Listen.
So you were right. That's the good news.
Well,
Punky.
Guess what?
Okay, what?
Now I'm happy again.
Okay. You're happy again.
Because I love Mama Say, Mama Stop.
That's what you were right.
You know what? You can rest
you can have it back
easy
again.
Tonight. Punky, one thing about Missy, you're so open about your private life. You know, you talk about your relationship on your podcast. Missy, on the other hand, she's overtly sexual in her lyrics and her art, but she's famously closed off when it comes to her private life.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? What do you make of that?
Well, first of all, I thought she was being private because she was gay. And back then...
I think some of us thought that, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I assumed she was gay because they didn't sexualize her, like I said. Mm-hmm. She wasn't the...
Isn't that crazy? Just because she wasn't the typical, right. We were like, oh, she must be gay.
And they didn't force her to be it mm-hmm. either. Yeah. Because usually, if you're a female rapper, you're not going to make it... Like, Young Ma is underrated, point blank period. Mm-hmm. Young Ma got bars. I don't know what's going on with the consistency of the music or the albums or whatever, but Young Ma should be a bigger
artist. She really should. Yeah.
And I think it's because Young Ma can't be sexualized, and Butch is... I mean, it's just what it is with gay butch women. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, with Missy, I was just like, you know what? And even if she wasn't gay, I wanted to accept that because I felt like I had somebody that was just like me.
Yeah. It's interesting. Wow. I think this goes back again towards, look, I think this song is a, you know, it's a sexual declaration of independence for women and for black women. But I also think, again, going back to that idea of Missy being this person that you want to align yourself with, like I wanted to align with Missy she seemed like to me like she was a nerd. Being a nerd is very central to my personality.
Yes.
Mine too, my friend. That's where we connect.
We might connect on that level.
Yes,
but I think that like for me, like when I saw her and Timbaland, like I sort of felt like, oh, these are like some nerds. Like, you know, they might make this like, you know, wild music. And Pharrell is like that too. It's that Virginia Beach collective. Like they all seemed kind of like alternative a little bit to whatever else was going on.
They're happily outside the mainstream.
They're happily not doing.
In fact, Missy, I've heard a couple of interviews where she mentions this. They made it a point to not listen to anything on the radio when they made, especially their earliest stuff. They realized that what they had was special and they didn't want to taint it by being confused and maybe, you know, wanting to do something that they heard on the radio. They were just like, no, we're living in our own little cell here in Virginia Beach and it's cool and it's quirky and it's us. It's our personalities. Yes. We're just going to keep on doing it.
We're going to keep out pushing out culture and new words. Badunkadunk comes to mind.
Love Badunkadunk.
Okay, can we talk about that for just 1 second? Because today,
I didn't know that was a controversial thing.
It's a Streisand effect, Mandela, whatever you call it. I swear to God, we think the word Badunkadunk is the word, right? Okay, I'm going to isolate it for you. Tell me what's happening.
By the way,
here.
You can't forget that Soulja Boy also did a song called Donk. You know, like we went from Badunkadunk to just Donk.
Here is the part of the song where she says it.
You love the way my butt boom, 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 boom. Keep your eyes on my boom, 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 boom. You think you can handle this? Kadonka, don't, don't.
None of those are badonkadonk.
She said kadonkadonk. Okay, fine.
None of those are badonkadonk.
Okay, fine. She said kadonkadonk.
This is not a controversial, like, you know, hot take. I'm not trying to, like, blow up anyone's, like,
whatever.
Lies here.
She said kadonkadonk.
There's okay. We were
one consonant off.
You love the way my butt boom 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 boom. Keep your eyes on my boom boom boom
boom boom.
I think you can handle this kadonkadonk.
It's like a guh.
You know, I feel there might be another song where she does say badonkadonk. Okay. You know, like maybe we've conflated the two. It's how people always remember him saying, you know, Luke, I am your father, which he never says.
He
says play it again. Okay, so this month is hip hop's 50th birthday. Looking back and reflecting on Missy's legacy, what do we think she's added to the culture? And are there any new female artists you're excited to see take up the baton that Missy definitely ran with for a very long time?
Ain't nobody touching Missy. Yeah. I'm going to tell you why. Everybody these days, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's the influence of social media, but everybody's talking about the same thing. Missy wasn't doing that. Mm. Everybody's talking about, I got your money. I make them eat it like a mango. Everybody's talking about, I got houses, living rent-free. And nobody is bringing this type of energy. Now, don't get it twisted. I'm a Nicki Minaj freak.
Yeah.
I'm a Cardi B fanatic. Yeah. Like, let's not get it twisted.
I'm happy for the ladies who are running hip-hop
absolutely.
Right now.
I'm not discrediting
anybody.
Everybody
from Ice Spice. I feel like all the biggest stars are...
Megan. Yeah.
Yes, they're all women right now.
Yeah, I'm not discrediting anybody, but it's a very, very unfair comparison, I'm telling you, in regards to Missy Elliott. But I am excited for, like, Glorilla and Ice Spice.
Love Glorilla.
I just love the ghetto shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Hanging out my window. I just love how honestly, I give mad credit to the female hip-hop artists right now. They just unapologetically who they are, and they in their own skin, and they so
Sexy Red came out of nowhere for me.
Oh, I don't even know where she came from. and I must say, Sexy Red, you look much better with no makeup. You're so beautiful naturally. You don't need none of that shit in your face. You're beautiful just on your own. You don't need no makeup. Stop wearing that shit.
Sexy Red, a confirmed listener of one song. You heard it from our guest's mouth. No makeup.
I was just going to say, I think Missy, part of what makes her special, just as we've been talking about it, what I'm realizing is like this era, to your point, is also about like artists tend to jump around different producers and like songwriters. It's kind of the team effort to make what the product is has changed so dramatically. And Missy and Timba were like this. They were literally brother and sister. And what's that line? We so tight, our styles get tangled. You know, like she sings, you know, and every third song she's dropping his name, she's talking about Tim, talking about Tim, like they love each other and they work together and they understand each other, and there's something really special that comes out in the music. The product is obviously, they're both throwing ideas out, they're both co-producing, by the way, a lot of these tracks together. She's technically, you know, it gets producer credit a lot of these times, so I think there's something
I think that's one of the things, is that she's not just a rapper, she was a songwriter
singer,
penned great songs for some other people.
She started as a singer with a singing group.
I mean, it's wild. I think about like some of the stuff she'd worked with when she was working with Monica. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like
that's
some of the best stuff. You
knock,
know, like
knock, knock, come knocking.
Drive by your house and sit. You know what I mean?
Oh my like, God.
Who hasn't done that? Who hasn't driven by the ex's house and sat in your car and just did a creep?
She'll just come. It's almost like she just comes into the song at the perfect moments, and she just lays down like this fluffy calmness to it, like especially on that Monica song. Ooh, yeah. Like,
yeah.
And then the song, it's funny how the tables turn. Like, damn, how you go so calm to, like, I mean, Jesus.
Ladies' Night. Remember when she was on Ladies' Night and she came in so great. Like, you're just always happy when Missy gets on the track. And, like, even, like, you know, J. Cole, like, she's done songs, like, for every period.
Yeah.
And
she just fits so in with that lady. But I can't lie, on a Ladies' Night track, the brat.
Oh, what a night.
The brat got me.
The brat?
Yeah. Y'all see how these bogus niggas trying to I'm just like, damn, brat. Let's go,
the
brat.
The brat is underrated, man. Shout out to the brat. I just, Functified was a moment. I remember when Functified dropped. That was just, the B-side.
Yeah.
I mean, like, she held her own with Big Papa. That was incredible.
Yeah.
That was incredible. But I think it does speak to how special Missy is, that you never hear her really compared to the people who came before or after her.
Mm-hmm.
You never hear like, oh yeah, you know, she was kind of biting MC Light and biting, you know, Lil' Kim. Like, nobody would ever say that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she's
unique. Totally.
She had her own lane and she has her own lane. She's still here. You know, like, so we're giving her flowers while she's still here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And one last thing, by the way, before we get to our game, there is one last sample, and that is that this song has been sampled in a new track that's actually just a few months old, and I'm gonna play that for you.
Oh wow.
This is a collab with Skrillex and Monsieur Roiseau, this French producer.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
It's called Ratata.
Oh, I do like this. This the kind of beat to go ratata, 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 this the kind of beat to go ratata,
ratata, ratata. DJ Skrillex, we beat the realest team on the realest. A lot of rappers, they do sing.
Yeah.
But they don't sound good on acapella.
Mm.
When you busted that acapella, Missy...
Yeah,
she sounds excellent.
Yeah, because one of the layers in there is her singing. I hadn't noticed that till we were like listening. You can hear the five or six things she's doing at once.
Yeah. Yeah,
and one of them is singing.
She's going. When you did that, she's playing. She's done. She's gone soprano, alto. She's gone. She's doing everything.
She's got so much range.
it's ridiculous.
This could do so much.
Okay, so the last thing we want to do is play a game. Now, I don't actually have any idea what the game is, but neither does Diallo, but our producer, and neither does Punky. So none of us know what this game is. So, producer Matt, you said it's going to be a fun game. I'd like to know what this game is.
What are you got us into?
Hello, Punky, Luxury, Diallo.
Hey, Matt.
Hello.
How's it going?
Okay, so I am taking over as the game's master, and the game is called Flip It and Reverse It.
Oh.
So here's how it works. I'm going to play some popular songs in reverse, backwards.
No.
And I want you to guess what they are. Now, you don't have buzzers, because we don't have budget for buzzers in here. So thanks, you're going to need to make your own buzzer-like noises. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to test the buzzers. Luxury, was your buzzer? Do your noise, please.
Beep, beep, beep.
Okay, good still buzzer.
I'm going to go buzz.
Cool. Punky?
I'm gonna just say, I know it. Okay, yeah.
This is where you feel comfortable with. Okay, so I will be keeping score, but there's no budget
you always
for a prize.
Do. You
either.
Always keep score.
All you stand to gain is respect and the satisfaction of knowing that your brain can flip it and reverse it.
Okay.
Okay, all right. You ready for the first song?
Yes.
The first one is actually the easiest one, so be aware they're all going to get harder.
I'm going to feel so stupid.
Okay. Here we go.
I'm stressed.
Oh,
beep, 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 beep. Nah. I believe the luxury is
luxury
first.
Beat got in.
That's Uptown Funk, my friend.
Yes, it is. 1 point for Mr. Luxury. Congratulations.
I couldn't hear it.
Could you not hear it at all?
Oh, can you hear it in your head?
No, I lied.
Oh.
All right.
Okay, so in the lead with 1 point is Luxury. Here is song two.
Oh, I got it. Buzz, buzz, buzz.
Diallo.
That's Return of the Mac.
It is indeed. We're all square. 1 point.
Wow,
one
this is
point.
Weird. It's weird that square. You can kind of hear it.
Yeah.
We've never played this game before. But Punky, do not look at me like that.
She's not happy.
I actually wouldn't be surprised if you guys do practice this kind of thing. Listen to songs backwards. The kind of man that you are. Okay, song number three.
Buzz, buzz, buzz.
Yes.
California Love.
It is indeed taking the lead.
He's Diallo. A freaking DJ.
Yeah, dog.
Who has Serato, so he's practiced the backwards
exclusive.
Thing.
I'm sorry. I didn't say the game was fair. Okay, moving on. The song number four.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yes.
It's either Wonderwall.
You can't say
it's definitely Oasis.
Or.
It's Oasis. Hold on.
There's no either or. You have to give an answer.
Gotta commit, bro.
Come on. I at least get to hold the ball for a second because it's Oasis. I'm going with Wonderwall.
It is indeed Wonderwall. Yes. We're all square.
We're
two
not all square. Poor,
two
look
points.
At poor Punky over here.
I think we should let Punky get this next one.
No, ain't nobody gonna let me get nothing. I'm not 3 years old playing against my father.
I have kids, and when one of them isn't winning, I'm always like, "Hey, let the guy have one." But no, that's fair enough.
Punky's pissed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the final song, good luck to Punky, is this one.
Buzz, buzz, buzz.
I'm not getting that
yes.
shit.
That's Jimi Hendrix.
Yes,
and it's. Purple Haze?
It is indeed. Ah. That means that the winner was 3 points.
I think there was some
luxury.
I think there was some cultural bias in the tech in the exam.
What Return of the Mac? Come on.
I'm upset.
I am too.
We gotta make Punky feel better before the show ends. Come on, we can't end on this note.
That's right.
All right. Actually, I've got one bonus one.
Okay. Oh, listen.
Neither of these two can answer. Okay. This okay. is only for
well,
Punky.
Then I'm going to just be sitting up here like,
Okay, Punky, just for you.
This is the first one I have no idea.
I'm sitting up there like Tina Turner.
I have literally no idea.
I'll give you a context clue. She is the daughter of a very famous country musician.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
She's the daughter of a country musician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I give you a hint?
Yeah.
She was Hannah Montana.
Yeah, I wasn't going to guess that shit.
She was on your show.
All right, fine. I'm not a freaking music freak like the rest of you assholes, okay? I'm not that freaky that I know it backwards. So everyone just go on and kiss my freaking ass.
Way to flip it and reverse it. Jeez.
It was Flowers, right?
Yes.
By Miley?
Kiss my ka-donk-a-donk-donk. I'll give you guys a fun quote. You learn more when you lose.
That's true.
All right, I think that's it. Punky Johnson. Thank you for playing our games.
Oh,
Thank you so much for joining us.
I had an educational ball here. Thank you guys so much.
It was so fun having you on.
Can you tell us real quick, tell us about your podcast?
Oh, y'all listen to Love Thing. I'm just giving unsolicited, unprofessional advice, which means it's all coming from love and experience, not the book from the therapist.
And they can sue you if your advice doesn't work out for them, right?
ain't say all that. You could try. I don't know what you're going to get, but you could try.
Pucky, when can the people, how can the people and find and listen to Love Thing?
Y'all go and listen to that on Sirius XM on Kevin Hart's Radio, Channel 96. Every Tuesday, and then I think every Wednesday on everywhere you get your podcast.
Yeah. By the way, you heard her say Hook. That's that New Orleans right there.
Was it?
You say Kevin Hart's name?
Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart.
Yeah, no, I love
Kevin
it.
Kevin Hart's.
All right, Luxury, listen to this thing. I am actor, writer, director, and sometimes DJ Diallo Riddle.
And I'm songwriter, producer, and guy who sometimes whispers interpolation luxury.
And this has been One Song. One Song is a SiriusXM and Kevin Hart's LOL Radio production. This episode was produced by Matthew Nelson and Jordan Colling, with engineering from Marcus Hom. Additional production support from Leslie Guam, Charles Childers, and Alicia Shimada. The show is executive produced by Kevin Hart, Ty Randolph, Mike Stein, Brian Smiley, Eric Eddings, and Eric Weil.